Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keeping things moving on The Drive. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will get inside the mind of the machine. And they had a pretty interesting conversation on Tyrann Mathieu on ESPN. We'll talk about that coming up at 3:30. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. Today's pop quiz is brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner won an MVP golf cart. Dusty, what was today's pop quiz?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It was out in theaters 33 years ago today.
What is you guys' favorite movie from the 80s? I know that's a very broad question.
Caddyshack. But is that 80s?
I'm not sure, honestly. I can check for you.
I believe it is.
This is going to be really obscure. It's a Fred Savage movie called The Wiz about when they first released. Actually, that might have been the early 90s now that I think about it. I guess Goonies.
Caddyshack came out in 1980. So, yes, Caddyshack.
That'll work.
Is your favorite movie from the 80s.
Rest in power to Harold Ramis, who wrote that and among with other really great comedies of that time period.
Harold Ramis is what we were looking for.
Yeah, Ramis.
Ramis. I thought you said Revis, like Darrell.
I am a very, very big fan of The Breakfast Club. I'm a really big fan of that movie. I like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, too. But
I've been to the house that they filmed Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I don't know if I've told you that any fewer than, what, a million times?
Yeah, I mean, there's like Sean's greatest hits. You know what I mean? I got a feeling in a little bit we'll hear about Wheel of Fortune coming up at some point.
Oh,
you know
guaranteed,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Or we'll hear about the Zambezi Zinger.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You got to play the hits. You know what I mean? Tried and true. That's why I love Vera you.
Farrah Fawcett in a forest fire.
That's why I love you because you're consistent.
You got that one, too.
You know what
absolutely,
I mean? You're
boys.
Consistent. Coming up in a little bit, we will go inside the mind of the machine. So, to let you guys know where the Chiefs are in their offseason preparations, now is the time for mandatory minicamp. Everything else was optional. Everything else was voluntary. Today, tomorrow, and Thursday, it is mandatory minicamp for the Kansas City Chiefs. Once Thursday concludes and once they break, they do not have any more team activities until they head to St. Joe. So, this is it. This is the last chance that we will hear from a lot of players on the team. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid will talk on Thursday, and then that's it. We will not hear from them until they get to St. Joe. I want to play for you guys what Laurent Duvernay-Tardif had to say.
I mean, Wiley is a tremendous athlete. He's bringing good energy and good chemistry to the group, and it's been really nice to see him grow as a player. And of course, I think what we want as a unit is the best guys out there and create that competition so we can all get better. And I think that's what's happening right now. And it's just, it's been fun so far. We all know what's at stake, but at the same time, we're all having fun together, which is great.
So that was Laurent Duvernay-Tardif talking about knowing what's at stake for it. We haven't really done this yet. I want to read to you something. This is the AFC Championship game starters for the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's just play a simple game of are they still on the team or are they not? Because what I think you'll notice is the defense has gone through a radical overhaul and the offense has largely stayed the same. So Mahomes started at quarterback, mm-hmm. Damian Williams, Sammy Watkins, Chris Connolly, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Offensive line, Eric Fisher, Cam Irving, Mitch Morris, Andrew Wiley, Mitchell Schwartz. So from their last game that they played, man, everybody's back with Chris Connolly and Mitch Morse, and you feel like you've replaced Chris Connolly with Mecole Hardman, and you move some things around when it comes to it. And Mitch Morse, I think we can be honest, wasn't always the healthiest, so he was kind of in and out. I mean, they bring back 9 of the 11 starters on a team that went to the AFC Championship game last year and was one of the 5 best offenses of all time. I mean, the overhaul has happened on defense. So on defense, Alan Bailey, Derek Nnadi, Chris Jones, Justin Houston, Reggie Ragland, Anthony Hitchens, D. Ford, Kendall Fuller, Steven Nelson, Eric Berry, Daniel Sorensen. The offense has stayed the same, so there's some expectation of continuity. Second year of Mahomes on defense, they have gone through a complete radical change, and that's why we both have said it is impossible, I think, to compare the 2019 defense to the 2018 defense because 80% of it is completely different.
The good thing is, though, you can still compare the offense to last year.
Agreed.
Because the offense was awesome. They were the 3rd highest scoring offense in the history of football. They scored 35.7 points per game. They don't need to have any turnover on that side of the ball. My dad told me a long time ago, if things are bad, change is good. But if things are good, change is bad. And things were really bad for the Chiefs defense last year, which means change is good. So all the new faces and new places, you're exactly right. There's no point in saying, well, last year they were 30th in pass defense and they were 29th in rush defense and they couldn't do this and they couldn't do that. They're potentially going to have literally 6 or 7 new starters on opening day than they had in last year's playoff game. So the comparisons to last year's defense don't really get you anywhere.
And that doesn't factor in that they have a completely different defensive staff too. So, I mean, if you're going to have 70% turnover defensively on the field and 100% turnover defensively off the field, we have to view you through a completely different lens. Two players that I think are squarely on the, well, are you going to step up this year, I would say are Anthony Hitchens and Kendall Fuller. Let's start with Anthony Hitchens. As you want to talk about revamp, their linebacker core is completely revamped going from the 3-4 to the 4-3. Here's what Anthony Hitchens had to say today at Chiefs OTAs.
Yeah, there come times where he pull guys out of meetings and just talk. Does he want to get to know his players and coaches? He do it with coaches too. And, you know, just trying to learn each other. You got to learn how to coach the man, coach the player, and I think he's doing a great job with that. He came in from the first day and had his rules and the standards set, and he hasn't let off on them. So we only want to improve with the mentality of this defense.
I think that Andy Reid this offseason was looking for someone who could have a hands-on approach to the defense. That my focus, I want to keep it on Patrick Mahomes. I want to keep it on this offense, keeping it fully running. And I want someone who has prior head coaching experience and someone who can essentially treat that side of the ball like it's their team. Let me handle the offense. Let me handle the balancing of personalities. Let me deal with Veach. Let me deal with the business side of football.
Yeah.
I want you to solely focus on being the best defensive coordinator and getting this defense right and treat the, you know, 30 guys on that side, 25 guys on that side of the ball like that's your individual team. I think he's found that with Steve Spagnuolo.
Because you could argue that Steve Spagnuolo is the biggest offseason addition. Some people are going to go, what, are you crazy? It has to be a player on the field. I don't know, man. Bob Sutton was so average to bad at his job, where he put players in position to fail opposed to succeed, that I think even bigger than Frank Clark, even bigger than Tyrann Mathieu, even bigger than anything they did through the draft, getting a new defensive coordinator is huge. It's curious that we got a chance to hear from Hitchens and Fuller, because both of those guys, I think, we don't really know what we have. We've seen them for 1 year in a Chiefs uniform. We know that before they wore that Chiefs uniform, when he was in a Redskins uniform, Fuller was great. When he was in a Cowboys uniform, Hitchens was great. The question is, what happened to them their first year in Kansas City, and can they perform better this season? We're about to find out.
Looking at the linebacker core, it's kind of hard because I don't really know what to expect from their linebacker core.
Any of them.
Like, let me give you the linebackers that are currently on the team. Guys that matter. Guys we think are going to make the team. Dorian O'Daniel, Jeremy Atachu, Ben Neiman, Reggie Ragland, Anthony Hitchens, Darren Lee, Damian Wilson. Like, that's their linebacker group. You didn't necessarily improve, I would say, at the linebacker core, but you got younger, you got faster. I think you got a little bit better in coverage. I think this linebacker core kind of comes down to 3 or 4 guys. What do you get this season from Dorian O'Daniel? What do you get this year from Anthony Hitchens? What do you get this year from Darren Lee and Damian Wilson? Out of those 4 guys, I think you need 2 to play at a relatively high level.
I just don't know what you're going to get out of any of those guys, quite frankly. Like I said, with Anthony Hitchens, when he was in a Cowboys uniform, he was great. But year one in Kansas City was an ultimate disaster. You talk about guys like Dorian O'Daniel, I don't know. I haven't seen enough of them. Reggie Ragland, year one in Kansas City, he was really good. Last year, he was invisible. That entire linebacker core, they could be good. They could be awful. I have no idea.
Text line 69306, how is Daniel Sorensen still on this team? I would say with Daniel Sorensen, there's no reason to cut him right now. There's no reason to cut him. Get to camp, and then if you feel like he's not good enough to make the team or some of your younger and cheaper guys are outperforming him, then you get rid of him. But right now, there's no reason to cut Daniel Sorensen. You let him go through all this stuff. You allow him the opportunity to earn his job in camp. As long as he doesn't break your 53-man roster, you can get out of that contract. And Daniel Sorensen is good enough. Someone will pick up Daniel Sorensen once you release him. There's no benefit in doing it right now. So, I mean, your safeties are Tyrann Mathieu, Juan Thornhill, Jordan Lucas, Daniel Sorensen, Armani Watts. So, I mean, if you go into camp and Daniel Sorensen is clearly your third best safety out there, then you keep him on the team. But if you feel like Armani Watts and Jordan Lucas outplay him, then Daniel Sorensen's got
to
go.
I don't love Dirty Dan, but I think that somebody like you just said has to come in there and outplay him. It's been the same thing for the last couple of years. Is he a great player? No. But is he the best option for the Chiefs right now at that position? Maybe.
I also think it's pretty clear that, I mean, Andy Reid really likes really likes Daniel Sorensen.
Loves him some Dirty Dan.
And that's why he continues to be on the team. So we heard what Anthony Hitchens had to say about Steve Spagnuolo. Let's hear what Kendall Fuller has to say about Spagnuolo.
I don't think so. He told me a story about he met with my brother, but I didn't. I love him, man. Just that fire, you know, he wants to compete. He wants to see everybody get better, see everybody do well. You know, just as on the field, of course, but also off the field. You know, he wants to see guys mature, see them, you know, do good off the field. And, you know, for sure, he asks a lot of us on the field and, you know, pushes us and motivates us every single day. Good energy.
I think it's very, very clear what the Chiefs prioritize this offseason. I think they prioritize energy, fire, dynamic personalities. They got that with Tyrann Mathieu. They got that with Frank Clark. I also think they got that with Steve Spagnuolo. I think they wanted a completely different energy and motivating factor when it came to the defense. They were not going to get that from the guys that they had, and they were not going to get that from Bob Sutton. So they went to they just didn't try to improve the defense. I think they have radically changed their defense.
Yeah, no question about it. They've completely changed the culture. That's what you have to do when the defense was as bad as they were. But more important than a culture change, a player change, and a coordinator change. I think they improved with their defensive coordinator. Obviously, Spagnuolo is a huge upgrade over Bob Sutton. I think that Frank Clark is a bit of an upgrade over D Ford. And I think that the biggest one that we're not talking about enough is Tyrann Mathieu. Not that I think Tyrann Mathieu's in the prime of his career or he's a great player at this point, but look at who he replaced. Eric Berry wasn't on the field at all last year, so you've got a leader that's going to actually play football.
We'll actually talk about Tyrann Mathieu more coming up at 3:30. They had an interesting conversation about Tyrann Mathieu on ESPN. We'll play that for you coming up in a little bit. But before we do that, let's go inside the mind of the machine. We'll do that next coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, the Chiefs just tweeted it out. The second episode of their television show, The Franchise, will debut tomorrow at 6 o'clock. You can watch it on the television, Fox Sports. You can also watch it on Facebook and YouTube. The first episode was really, really good. The second episode, they say they follow Brett Veach and his staff during the NFL Combine and Draft. So if you want to check out the Chiefs television show, The Franchise, it will be on tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Coming up in just a little bit, there was an interesting conversation about Tyrann Mathieu on ESPN. We'll talk about that. And Chris Jones said no to showing up to mandatory minicamp for the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. And Sean made another list of three celebrities that he would love to fight. He'd love to be in a brawl, duke it out with. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But first, let's go inside the mind of the machine.
I think I'd be the favorite in the fight against all three celebrities, too.
I don't even know the celebrities. I'm excited to hear.
And I'll tell you who they are coming up. By the way, why does it bother you so much when I crunch ice the way that I do?
It's kind of one of those things that next time you eat ice, I want to record so you can hear it. So, like, randomly when we're just sitting here and it's quiet.
It's that loud, bro.
I'm telling you, the next time you eat ice, Dusty, you've been around it. I just want to record it so I can play you hear yourself. I mean, imagine. I've been listening to you do that since 2 o'clock. Every commercial break, you chomp on
you
ice.
You sound like the dog from The Sandlot. That's not what I sound like. Yeah, we kind of do. Big 12.
Have you ever heard Carrington eat food?
You can ask him. I don't get on Sean about anything. Yeah. I am the most live your life. As long as you don't bother me, I don't really care what you're doing kind of person.
To an extent.
One day, I'm just sitting there, and it's just like, it's quiet. We're having a nice day, and I'm telling you, it's like. And I'm like, Sean, bro.
Shut up. It's not that bad.
It was so bad. BK started laughing when I said something because he knew exactly what I was saying something about. It's loud. It's loud.
We move on.
You know it's loud.
It ain't that loud. You're acting like I'm a barking dog. That's not how I chew ice.
I'm telling you.
No, it's not breaking news.
I'm telling you that I can play it. Next time you eat ice, I'll record it and I'll play so you can hear what it sounds like you eating ice.
It's crushed ice from Quick Trip, and everybody sounds like that when they chomp on crushed ice.
Yeah, but I don't know. You treat it like a snack.
Okay,
I'm with you.
If
you had it as a drink, I would completely understand, but you literally have been chewing on ice for the last hour and a half. I don't know many people that do that.
Keeps you hydrated. All right,
try Sonic Ice. It's quiet.
Sonic Ice is so good.
No, Sonic started selling their ice.
That's
now
what I'm here for, to help you guys, compromise.
You can buy the ice from Sonic.
Mind of the Machine.
From now on, I will only choose Sonic Ice, and now I talk about what's in the mind of the machine. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby says all transfer CDOT should sit out a year with no exceptions.
Okay.
Do you agree? No exceptions.
Hell no, I don't agree. If you've been listening to this show long enough, you know that I am as pro players as one can be in the argument of the NCAA against student athletes. Does he have the same stance for coaches? because I'm pretty sure that the best coach in their basketball conference, Bill Self, he transferred, right? He went from Illinois to Kansas. He didn't have to sit out a year, right? He could instantly take that job,
right?
That's
a good point, yeah.
How did they get Jamie Dixon? He was at Pitt and then took the job at TCU, right?
Yeah.
Like, how'd they get Brad Underwood? Like, how do they get any coaches? Like, come on now. Like, this is so silly. I'm telling you, the game is only rigged whenever the players get the same rules and latitudes that the coaches do. That's the only problem. If the player, the adults can do it, it's only a problem when the kids have the power and have the control.
The trailer is out for Frozen 2. What's your favorite all-time Disney movie and character? You know mine, Toy Story and Rafiki.
I am very disappointed that they didn't name it something different. It shouldn't be Frozen 2.
Why?
It should be still Frozen. That's what it should be.
That is better.
It should be they should have a trilogy. Frozen, still Frozen, Frozen Unfrozen. Solid. That's what it should be. That should be the progression of the Frozen series. What was the question? My favorite character movie?
Yeah, your favorite Disney character movie. I've got my favorite songs, if you care. Under the Sea, A Whole New World, Hakuna Matata, Be Our Guest. You know what movie that's from? Be Our Guest?
Yeah, Beauty and the Beast.
You're a big Beauty and the Beast guy, aren't you?
I love
like
Beauty
a huge closet Beauty and the Beast guy.
There's a lot of stuff about Beauty and the Beast that goes, first off, why is Gaston a bad guy? Here's my examples. He's trying to stop bestiality, trying to stop Stockholm Syndrome. He's got the love of his life falling in love with an animal, and all he's trying to do is protect her. Yeah, he's the bad guy. Also a good-looking lad that eats 24 eggs a day.
I mean, you would think that Sean would have learned something from Beauty and the Beast. Look at it. The guy who could spend all the tan and wine bar wasn't the one that got chosen. And the one that she fell in love with him for his personality, Beast. He was the one that got chosen. I mean, Beauty and the Beast is a very powerful story about love is unconditional and that you should love the person on the inside.
Basically,
and not
you're
the
calling
out.
Me ugly and saying that I overshot my, which is fine.
And
I can accept that.
That's
exactly what you're saying. You just called me the beast, and you said that I chomped my ice like
a
dog.
I'm saying that the nice guy, Bastion, who had all the money, who was taking her to all those places, yeah, him, he wasn't the one that got picked. But Belle fell in love with the beast for who he was, and it didn't matter.
You're calling me the beast, which is fine, but just face it. You're calling me ugly, and I can take it.
Which, if once you find true love, you will be a beautiful prince, Levine. But you got to find it first, and it's got to be mutual.
Thank you, Dusty.
I'd probably say Woody out of all of those.
Okay.
If I had to guess, if I had to say my favorite character,
I was like, what's he talking about? Woody. Oh, yeah, his favorite Disney character.
Woody from Toy Story is your favorite character?
Yeah,
probably. I can't look at you the same.
I love Toy Story.
So do I.
I can't wait for next week. The new one comes out.
Let's see. Michael Jordan's flu game was 22 years ago today. After this season, does it feel like we can put the LeBron and MJ comparisons away, at least for a little while, C-Dot?
No. I think LeBron needs to win one in Los Angeles. I mean, if LeBron at the end can say, I've been to 9 NBA finals, or be 10, was he three and five?
Yeah, he's at 9. He's at 8 right now.
Oh, he's at 8. Yeah, he's 3-5. Yeah. So if he can get to 4-6 or whatever the number is, I know my math is a little bit off.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, all right. I mean, that's going to be very interesting.
By the way, Stuart Scott was on the mic on SportsCenter the night of the flu game. Who's your all-time favorite SportsCenter anchor?
Stuart Scott.
Yeah, probably Stuart Scott.
Kenny Mayne, Dan Patrick.
Scott Van Pelt's a personal friend of mine, so I'm going with SVP.
Someone on the text line said, hey, BK, I won a pack of cards about 3-4 weeks ago. Still haven't received it yet. How long does it normally take? You have to come up here to get the cards.
Yeah, you got to come get those yourself,
bro. You
have
to come physically up here to come get the cards.
Yeah, BK's not here today.
I mean, that's fine. You have to come up here to get the cards. We don't mail the gift out.
Steve-O from Jackass turns 44 years old tomorrow. Were you a big fan of Jackass? And have you ever religiously watched any reality TV shows?
I mean, I definitely have religiously watched reality TV shows. I actually just finished a reality TV show. I watched a show called X on the Beach on MTV. There actually is a new season of Real World, which starts Friday. They're in Atlanta, finally. Can't wait for that one.
I used to watch Newlyweds.
I feel like C-Dot watched Jersey Shore.
Absolutely,
no,
he did.
I've never seen a second of that show before.
Sure.
Okay. I've never seen it before. I would tell you if I did.
Yeah, and Levine doesn't chomp ice.
What was the original question?
I don't know. Steve-O turns 44.
Jackass. Not for me.
Did you see Steve-O's recent stunt, by the way? He went to a top of like a skyscraper in L.A. to protest SeaWorld. He took an inflatable Shamu up there and got like the entire city of Los Angeles' cops and a bunch of people down there chanting his name. Is pretty cool.
As he should.
Sometimes I can just look at a trailer and just identify that's not for me. Like, laughing at guys for having pool balls hit him in the nuts never funny to me.
I mean, he did get a tattoo of your name on his ass.
Like, that's not that funny to me. So I realized very early on that Jackass just wasn't the show for me. Jersey Shore, I saw one trailer that wasn't for me. I've never seen it before.
You've seen Pauly D live at P&O?
He seems like a P&L kind of guy.
Well, yeah.
I may or may not have been at that Pauly D show that you're talking
for
about.
For sure.
And it may or may not have been awesome.
With an Affliction shirt and rhinestones on your jean pockets.
No one is surprised by that. Yeah. Sean seems like the guy that loves to hang out at Mosaic.
He's like,
yo, where you going tonight? I'm going to Mosaic. What?
I'm more of a tan and wine bar guy. I don't know if you've heard. Do I got time for some more? Who should be a favorite to win the finals now, C-Dot, the Raptors or the Warriors?
The Raptors. The Raptors still, I mean, they have to win one game as opposed to Golden State having to win two, so they should still be the favorite in the series. Now, are they the overwhelming favorite in the series? Probably not. I would probably say it's probably a 55-45, 60-40 split between Toronto and Golden State, but Toronto should still have the advantage.
According to BPI projections, 76% chance that Toronto still wins the championship.
Golden State's very beat up, though. The injuries have certainly taken a toll on the Warriors.
Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen turned 32 tomorrow. Who's your biggest TV crush from back in the day? Mine is Winnie Koopa.
Topanga Lawrence.
Yeah, Topanga's
there. Yeah, Topanga Lawrence.
Neither one of them is hot as Kelly Kapowski or Lois from Family Guy.
What?
Yeah.
Cartoon character?
Yeah. Jessica Rabbit was pretty hot as far as cartoon characters
go.
Hey,
by the way, Levine, science fact, ice crunching is a subconscious way of dealing with sexual frustration.
I don't believe that at all.
Text line.
That's it. You made outside the mind of the machine.
I don't even really want to get into the Lois part.
As far as please animated women go, I think that she's the hottest.
How can a cartoon character be attractive?
What do you mean?
I don't even want to get into it.
But please do, because you really want to.
No, I don't, actually. Coming up in a little bit, we will play for you a very interesting conversation they had on ESPN about Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, and Sean wonders if there is a true contract year. We'll discuss it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, here's what Tyrann Mathieu had to say when he was asked why he chose to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs.
I had such a great year in Houston. I think the community, my teammates, the coaching staff, really the management, everybody really embraced me. And I knew that they wanted me to be a part of their long-term plan. But when Kansas City called, obviously it was a great deal. I felt like it was one I really couldn't turn down. And obviously they have a great program. Those guys were in the championship game last year, and they got a lot of great pieces on our team, and so I think talking with Coach Reed and talking with Spags, I think their plan for me and how they were going to use me, I think that really sold me on those guys.
I think the Chiefs this offseason made three major moves on their defense. Now, they made some other nice additions, but I think we can agree they only made three major moves: firing Bob Sutton and bringing in Steve Spagnuolo and getting a completely new defensive staff, the free agent Mathieu, and trading for Frank Clark. I think those were the three major moves they made so far this offseason.
Yeah, you can maybe throw drafting Juan Thornhill in there also, because I think he's going to get a lot of playing time. I think he's going to play early and often, but I agree. And I think that Tyrann Mathieu, you could argue, is maybe the biggest move, even bigger than Spagnuolo, even bigger than Frank Clark, because Frank Clark over D Ford to me is negligible. I'm not going to be shocked next year if Frank Clark has 11 sacks and D Ford has 10.5. I think that they're pretty similar players. Now, I think that Frank Clark's a better player, and he deserved the long-term money, and it made sense what the Chiefs did. But when it comes to Tyrann Mathieu and Eric Berry, in theory, Eric Berry last year should have been a really good football player. He's a multiple-time All-Pro. He's a beloved here in Kansas City. But the truth is, he wasn't on the field. So you essentially replace a guy that was supposed to be your leader last year, that's supposed to be one of the better players on the defense, that wasn't even on the field with Tyrann Mathieu. I think that he is just as important, if not anybody, when it comes to a new face on the Chiefs defense.
I want to play this for you. This is from ESPN. This is a conversation they had about Tyrann Mathieu I thought was pretty interesting, and I want to share it with you guys.
The Achilles heel of the Kansas City Chiefs was no doubt their defense last year. Certainly wasn't Patrick Mahomes and that offense that lit up scoreboards. Now they have Tyrann Mathieu. He comes in. What will he mean to that defensive unit?
I think he'll mean a lot. I think he's very versatile. He can play safety. He can play nickel. He can play corner. He can play a lot of different positions. And I know Steve Spagnuolo loves a good ball-hawking safety, and that's exactly what he is. He's always manages to be around the football, doing good things, creating turnovers. He's very smart when he's back there on defense. And I think he's going to, pay dividends for that defense in terms of them creating more turnovers and being more effective on the defense side of the ball.
I think Victor Cruz hit on it. I mean, he's a chess piece. He's a guy that you can move. He can play multiple positions on the defense. And again, this guy, whenever he gets his hands on the football, he makes things happen. And that's what the Kansas City Chiefs, particularly on defense, that's what they need.
Yeah, and a couple other things to add here would be communication and leadership. This is a guy who, everywhere he's gone, he has just naturally risen as the guy that other players gravitated towards during good times and bad. I think that for the Chiefs' defense, they should be much improved. But if they go through some hard moments, Tyrann Mathieu is going to be a guy that they can look to and say, He's our alpha. He's the player that can be our northern star. This is a player that every chance he's had has really stepped up and made a mark for himself. Should be the case in Kansas City
a
as well.
A proven veteran player, yes. And there's no doubt he'll bring that to Kansas City.
One thing I don't think the Chiefs had last season was I don't know if they had a player that if their defense didn't get a sack could go out there and make a play. A guy who could force a fumble, a guy who could make a pivotal interception. And say what you want about Marcus Peters, that was his biggest strength. There are a lot of flaws in Marcus Peters' game, but I think we can all identify that Marcus Peters is someone who is a ball hawk and is going to take the football away from him. I think that was missing on last year's defense. I think they needed somebody like Tyrann Mathieu who could go out there and make things happen and get you off the field, and I think that's what they acquired.
I can't wait to see him and judge him at St. Joe with my own two or four eyes if I decide to wear my glasses that day, because I'm just curious, C-Dot, if it's still Tyrann Mathieu in name or if it's Tyrann Mathieu in actual game, because when the Chiefs signed Sammy Watkins, I got really excited until I actually saw him play football and realized that Sammy Watkins is still a big name but doesn't have that much game when it comes to NFL wide receivers. I'm just curious if Tyrann Mathieu is still elite or if we just talk about him is still being elite.
Yeah, I don't have any question in Tyrann Matthew's ability. I don't really think it's anything like what happened with Sammy Watkins. And Sammy Watkins was fine once he was healthy. I have no question that Tyrann Mathieu is going to be an overwhelming positive for the Chiefs.
When it comes to Chris Jones, however, I don't think that there's contract years anymore, man, because I think that a contract year essentially means that's the year that you played your best and now you want to get paid. It was essentially supposed to be next year that was Chris Jones' contract year. A contract year, in theory, is you play the last year of your contract. On a rookie deal, that would be year number four. But the truth is, both Tyreek Hill and Chris Jones are in contract years right now, C-Dot, because they outplayed their original contract. That's all that means these days.
Yeah, I mean, I would disagree because I think you can force contract years. Like, let's say that Chris Jones goes out there and puts together an average season. Let's say that Chris Jones last season had 6.5 sacks. Decent season for a defensive tackle. I don't think he's winning that holdout battle. I don't think he's getting Aaron Donald money or close to Aaron Donald money because of what happened. I think that Chris Jones went out there. He took that big step going from a guy who had 5.5, 6.5 sacks to the getting 15.5 sacks, and then you force a contract year. I'm interested to hear you say you don't believe in contract years when I think we saw one last year with Dee Ford. Now, maybe it was timing and coincidence that he finally got healthy, but we saw a contract year in display last year with Dee Ford.
But you can play your way into a contract year in the case of Chris Jones, in the case of Tyreek Hill, or you can play your way out of a contract year like Dee Ford, where he only had his best year when it was his actual contract year. That's the difference, was the timing for Dee Ford and those other guys actually played themselves into earning what would be a contract year before it was actually their time to get paid.
Yeah, maybe we're saying the same thing and looking at it differently. I look at a contract year of, if I perform and if I do X, that means I can get paid. Last year for Chris Jones, I'm with you, it was not a traditional contract year, but if you go and ball out in that scenario, then you got an opportunity to earn that second contract. If you are Dee Ford and you go out and you ball out, you now put yourself in a position to make 5 years, $80 million, and you get 20-something million dollars guaranteed. So maybe everybody defines contract year a little bit differently. I look at it from a context of, I have a chance to put myself in a different financial category by playing well this season, and my earnings moving forward are kind of contingent upon how I perform in this individual season.
We agree, though, when it comes to the forwardness of the contract for Tyreek Hill, we have no idea what it's going to be, right, because of the suspension. We would also agree that Chris Jones is going to get paid. That's not a concern. It's just not if, but when.
Yeah, I don't think you can. I mean, you're telling me with all the stuff that's happened this offseason with Tyreek Hill, they can announce in the next 6 weeks that they're giving Tyreek Hill?
Hell no.
$40 million guaranteed? There's no way that you can do that. And that's why I look at Chris Jones, and it seems very simple to me. You have $28 million in cap space. Brett Veach has not paid any of Dorsey guys. Now, he's paid some of his own guys. Tyrann Mathieu got paid. Frank Clark got paid. I mean, he's certainly taking care of guys that he brought in. Anthony Hitchens, Sammy Watkins. There's no shortage of guys who Brett Veach has paid, but those have all been outside kind of guys. I don't know how this organization can look someone like Chris Jones in the face, know what he did last season, tell you that, hey, we believe in you from an organizational standpoint, and not take care of them when they have the money available. And don't sell me this stuff on Patrick Mahomes. Believe me, I think we just saw an example from what's happening with Minnesota. The salary cap is not real. Minnesota, were they not just complaining about the salary cap 3 weeks ago and they re-signed
Kyle Rudolph?
Like, literally just in 2 weeks later. 2 weeks ago, they were claiming, oh, we might not have enough to... You can always find a way to make it work. The Chiefs are not signing Chris Jones, or better yet, If they don't sign Chris Jones, it will be because they don't want to, not because they don't have the resources to do it.
But that's not a fear of yours, right? They're going to pay Chris Jones. And to me, it's a morale thing at this point that you've already paid other guys. You've paid outsiders, so it's time to pay the guys that have actually deserved to get paid in your uniform, which is Chris Jones. The money's available. The player earned the contract. Now pay the man his money.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, is the pressure back on Toronto in the NBA Finals? We'll get into that. Plus, Ben Roethlisberger spoke about people out here disrespecting the Pittsburgh Steelers. But first, there's some people that Sean wants to fight. We'll tell you who coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
The United States women's national team is playing soccer right now. They're playing against Thailand. I believe this is pool play of the World Cup. Am I correct?
That's right.
They're winning 12 to nothing.
In soccer.
12 to nothing.
So Thailand's got a shot, you're telling me.
No, there's only 2 minutes left in the game.
Plus stoppage time, bro.
So, I mean, I don't really know how much stoppage time they're going to have in a 12 to nothing game. I would say it's in the best interest of all parties to just go ahead. Let's wrap this thing up. Let's go ahead and do our little handshake line, and let's just, you know, get ready for the next game. 12 to nothing. Can you imagine for 4 years you've been preparing and getting ready for the World Cup, and then you go out there and you're ready to give your all for your country, and you get beat 12 to nothing? You got to move. It's that simple. If you get beat 12 to nothing in the World Cup, you got to move.
Is there any sport that we're more dominant in than women's soccer, the United States?
I would guess women's basketball. They're probably a good answer. I don't really watch a lot of women's sports.
You're not a huge women's soccer fan?
I'm just going to guess that women's basketball, that we're probably far away in advance of other countries when probably it comes to women's basketball. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get into the NBA Finals. Is the pressure shifted from Golden State now to Toronto? Plus, Ben Roethlisberger met with the media to talk about the disrespect y'all been showing the Pittsburgh Steelers this offseason. But Sean, yesterday's story, so if you missed it, Justin Bieber challenged Tom Cruise to a fight. I don't know what's going on. I'm a firm believer that if you want to fight another grown man at this stage, you only want to fight him for a couple of reasons. A, he owes you money, or he's been doing something inappropriate with your girl. Maybe messenger, talking to her a certain kind of way. There are not many other reasons that as adults you'll want to fight another grown man. But Justin Bieber put this out. I want to challenge Tom Cruise to fight in the octagon. Tom, if you don't take this fight, you're scared and you will never live it down. Who's willing to put on the fight at Dana White? So that's what Bieber had to say. And that got your mind turning because there are some celebrities that you'd love to get in the octagon with.
Yeah, and Bieber wanted to fight somebody that's, what, 30 years older than him?
31.
I believe Tom Cruise is 30 years older than him and half of his size. I've actually got a guy that I want to fight that's more than 30 years older than me and I believe half my size. And that would be one, Pat Sajak. And I'm not kidding you. If I ever see Pat Sajak in public, it is on like Donkey Kong, C-Dot, because about 6 or 7 years ago, my sister was on Wheel of Fortune, and she's dominating. She's winning this puzzle. She's winning that puzzle. She's winning the next one. She goes to the final puzzle with Vanna White. They give her the old R-S-T-L-N-E. Guess how many of the letters she got? Out of the R-S-T-L-N-E. Guess how much Pat Sajak helped out my sister, who, by the way, is a single mother who could use everything they're willing to offer.
I'm assuming that she didn't get much support in this.
Zero. No R, no S, no T, no L, no N, no E. And then they wanted my sister to solve the puzzle. It was absolutely impossible. And then they open up a little envelope at the end. $100,000 my sister missed out on, Dusty. I'm telling you, if I ever see Pat Sajak, it's funk on sight.
Yeah, I have an opposite story. My grandmother was actually on there May 5th, 2005 for Mom and Me Week with my aunt. They actually won the entire thing. She won a trip to Turks and Caicos. And her final, Turks and Caicos. It's a place in, I believe, in Mexico. Okay. And obviously somewhere around there. And
Sean's actually going there in 3 weeks with home.
I'm taking my girl.
Oh, man. Yeah, good thing they didn't pass those tariffs. Either way, you look at it in that return, she won $66,000. Divide that into two. They each won $33,000. Take out some tax, some change. A little bit over 25 grand. They won the entire thing on Mom and Me Week.
Well, just because your mom and grandma got paid, I'm still going to beat Pat Sajak and aunt, whoever.
My mom got to hit the stage, though, at the end when he comes and, you know, does
the whole house. Family comes out there, right, and does the whole thing. Yeah, that's
But they
awesome.
Said, my grandmother did say that Pat Sajak wore more makeup than she did.
If I see you, Pat Sajak, it is on. The second person, as far as celebrities go, that I want to fight, have you ever heard the name Ralph Nader, C-Dot?
I have heard of Ralph Nader.
Ralph Nader, I think, ran for president way back in, like, 2000. And for whatever reason,
I'm assuming it didn't work out very well for him.
No, he did not win the presidency.
No,
that's as much as I know about Ralph Nader.
Assuming he didn't come in second either.
But he did come to Lawrence, Kansas at the Lead Center, and he gave his speech. And I thought that it would be funny as, like, a punk don't even remember how old I was, but I took the microphone. I asked him a question about weed. Yeah, he didn't think it was that funny. He shot it down right away, and it was embarrassing. It was in front of like 10,000 of my favorite friends. So if I see – is Ralph Nader still alive? Can we get confirmation? Because if he's dead, I feel guilty. But can we find out if Ralph Nader's still alive? Because if he is C-Dot and I see him – again, if he's dead, I should probably shut up. But if he's alive, me and Ralph Nader, just like me and Pat Sajak, bro, if I see you in public, it's not going to be good for you.
According to Wikipedia, uh-oh, which is always a very reliable source, Ralph Nader is still alive.
All right.
He is 85 years old. I can't imagine holding a grudge for an 85-year-old man, but you say you got beef with them, and it is on site. You said you're up the marijuana point. Have I guys told you my theory on CBD oil?
No.
Have I told you that? I think that's the gateway to whenever dispensaries become nationwide. Like, think about it. If you already have a CBD store, I don't know enough about it. This is just my theory, so I apologize. If you regularly use CBD, I think it's safe to say you probably smoke marijuana,
maybe,
too.
Maybe. You might have tried it. You probably smoke marijuana, too. Oh, wait. Put it in the air, maybe.
So you already got a little bit of a built-in clientele for people that come in there and they buy CBD, that when marijuana is legal, which eventually in our lifetime, and it's going to be legal everywhere, I would say faster than our lifetime, probably in the next 10 to 15 years, all you got to do is turn that CBD, turn it around. You got a full dispensary right then and there. Because, man, I see these CBD American Shaman places.
Everywhere.
I mean, you're telling me.
Like gas stations.
I go get my burrito bowl, and then I could go get my CBD fixed. I can, like, literally everywhere you go, there is one of those CBD American Shamans. I'm telling you, that is a gateway to a dispensary.
I mean, it's only a matter of time until Chipotle, like, partners with some of that legal marijuana. Like, smoke a bowl, fill a bowl, go home, and have a good time.
Yeah, let me get a little
smoke
bit
a bowl,
of
fill a bowl.
Guacamole and a little bit of kush.
How you doing marketing?
Yeah, how's
that's
that
going actually
for
that's actually really really good. I told you last time I went to Denver, an idea hit me. I was like, man, whenever weed is legal in Missouri, I'm going to quit this job and I'm going to open up a place called Weed and Wings.
There you go.
You're telling me you can get a 12 pack and an ounce? Oh my goodness!
I mean, I'm going to open my own shop.
He went to Denver and got in with Papa John's.
My shop shall be called On the Green with Sean Levine.
God, it's always going
to
rhyme.
And by the way, the last person that I want to fight. Do I get any beats for this, or that's it for the beats? The last celebrity that I want to fight,
It sounds like you want to give Ralph Nader the beats.
Ralph Nader's going to get the 1-2 for sure if
that
I see
him. That man is 93 years old.
You said he's 88 years old. I have no problem fighting an 88-year-old man if he deserves 85. It, and he does. Pat Sajak, by the way, is 72 years old. He didn't have any problem with me throwing down with Sajak. The last person I want to fight, just because, quite frankly, I just don't like their face, and that's Dwight from The Office. That's it. And if I happen to run into Leonard Fournette, he once cost me $250 in a bet, and Hakeem Warwick for blocking Michael Lee's shot in the national championship game. So I've got beef with like five or six celebrities. How many of those do you think I'd be a favorite against?
Don't think he'd be. I guess
none of them?
Ralph Nader, who's 100.
I could definitely take Ralph Nader, Dusty.
I would hope so. If you couldn't be a man that's 50-something years older than
you. I would give Pat Sajak the beatdown, boys. I mean, when he's on the ground, I'd be like, how you like that, Pat? R-S-T-L-N-E.
I mean, he already gave your sister the beatdown, so he's already 1-0
hey, take it easy with all that, all right?
He's already 1-0 against them. Speaking of a celebrity that some of you would probably like to beat down, Ben Roethlisberger spoke this weekend about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Many of you have been discounting the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody's so hot and heavy for the Cleveland Browns. Big Ben says, don't forget, they're the Steelers.
I've been here a long time, we're still the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're still going to go out and try and win every football game. It's been a long time since we've been to the big one. Like I said, if everyone puts forth the effort that we all think we can and with the talent that we have in this room, we feel pretty confident that we can be pretty good.
I still, of all the things that happened last season in the NFL, I still don't understand how the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't make
right,
the playoffs.
Right, with that talent?
I don't understand how you have Ben Roethlisberger. You know, you didn't have Le'Veon Bell, but you replace him with another top eight running back in the NFL in James Conner. You have Antonio Brown, who's arguably the best receiver in the NFL. Juju Smith-Schuster, who's probably the best number two wide receiver in the NFL. I just don't know how you have all that talent and you just miss the playoffs. This is going to be a very critical year. Like, we talk about that division. I mean, there's a lot of major questions in that division. I think this is probably the last year of Andy Dalton. Lamar Jackson, I think, is on the verge of being Black Tebow. I certainly think that's a big criticism you can have for Lamar Jackson. I would say Pittsburgh, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I do not think that Mike Tomlin is coming back. And we already know about Cleveland. We talked enough about them. They certainly have their own questions that they have to answer, and they got to translate from on the paper to on the field. The AFC North is a very interesting division.
I've got Pittsburgh as a third-tier team. I don't think they will make the playoffs. My tiers go Kansas City, New England, the Chargers, and I guess I'll have Cleveland right at the top, but barely, and then Houston and Indy kind of on their own tier, and then Pittsburgh and Baltimore. I don't think Pittsburgh ends up making the postseason for the second straight year.
Yeah, I don't think Pittsburgh is making the playoffs either. I do think what he's saying is pretty interesting, that all of us are ready to just anoint the Cleveland Browns, and they are still Pittsburgh. They still are a first-class organization. I do think there is something about getting toxic people out of your locker room and getting people in that are all on the same page, that maybe you sacrifice a little bit from a talent standpoint, but just having a better locker room culture, I think could go a long way for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into the NBA Finals, and has the pressure shifted from Golden State to back on Toronto? But first, let's give you a chance to win a prize.
It's time for the Drives Package A giveaway, brought to you by the Baseball Card Store, located on West 87th Street in Overland Park.
It's time for the Drives Pack-A-Day giveaway, brought to you by the Baseball Card Store, located on West 87th in Overland Park. Every day, you'll have a chance to win a 2019 Topps Royals team set, along with a vintage, unopened pack of cards. Every daily winner is then entered for a chance to win a signed Mondesi rookie card. Everyone who wins this summer's goes to the drawing for the grand prize of a Mondesi signed bat. All thanks to our friends at the Baseball Card Store. All you have to do is get this trivia question correct, and the Royals and White Sox don't open up a series. It's Detroit and the Royals have a series tonight. The trivia question today, all you got to do is call up to 913-576-7610. I butchered that phone. All you got to do, give me some time, is where do the Royals play their game Thursday? I need the stadium and the city. Let me know.
Is he done?
Coming up in 2 minutes.
Chop your ice.
Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the NBA Finals and who has the pressure heading into Game 6. We'll discuss it. Dusty felt the pressure. It's The Drive.
What would you know about pressure?
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.